Nation is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we are underway here on this Thursday, November 21st, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today. We've got two wonderful guests that join us every single Thursday. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be with us at 2:30. We'll talk about Auburn football coming up this weekend. Last home game of the season. Yes, we'll talk to him about that, about the broadcast schedule, everything you need to know there. Also, talk to him about basketball, especially a broadcast schedule with that, with all the craziness coming up next week. As the Tigers are in Maui, heading out there today, actually. So we'll talk to Brad about that coming up at 2:30. No Coach Etheridge, no Keith Etheridge. We are wrapped up with him since the season has come to a close for Auburn High School football. So we'll have a little bit more time for you to be involved in the show. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, the daily Southeastern Conference podcast. He's going to join us coming up at 3:30. So looking forward to that. We will talk about all the scenarios for the SEC in the college football playoff, who's going to make it to Atlanta, who wants to be in Atlanta, who doesn't want to be in Atlanta. Lots of things to get to with Chris coming up later on in hour number two. I'm going to talk college football today. I'm going to hit on some college basketball today as well, some big stories around both of those sports. And as we look ahead to Auburn and Texas A&M, right? What's going to happen this weekend inside of Jordan-Hare? It's time to start getting some of your predictions, some of your thoughts, your game picks for Auburn and Texas A&M. What do you think is going to happen this weekend? You can get in touch with me one of two ways. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot me a text. That's the easiest way to do it. And the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. That's 334-784-1067 in the on-the-line text box. And again, Auburn and Texas A&M this weekend in Jordan-Hare. Crazy to think about this being the final home game of the regular season for Auburn. Of the season for Auburn, right? There's no regular season about it. It's just the flat-out last game in Jordan-Hare of the season. And so, right, everybody's trying to figure out what Auburn's motivation is, what Auburn's energy level is going to be like, what the stadium's going to look like. There's a lot to break down here. And again, we'd love to get your thoughts as we head to the phone lines here quickly, right out of the gates. 334-321-1390. Dan, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, Jacob, how's it going?
It's going good, man. What's on your mind?
Unbelievably, I feel like we have a pretty good shot. I'm looking at Texas A&M's schedule, and somehow they were able to avoid playing Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Texas they haven't played yet. So, I mean, they haven't really played any of the teams that are in the playoffs. So their schedule's been pretty about as easy as you could get playing an SEC schedule.
Yeah, it's up there. I mean, it really is one of those weird schedules. A&M is one that I think definitely benefited from all the changes in the Southeastern Conference, right, with no more East and West. I mean, you got to think, A&M was kind of in that boat with Auburn, right, where they would play Bama and LSU and Ole Miss, and then they'd play Auburn, and then they'd have their crossovers. And, yeah, I mean, who's the toughest team you'd say they've played so far this year, Dan? LSU?
probably. And then they went on the road to South Carolina and got, I mean, they lost by 24, which is pretty rough. Now, I'm not saying South Carolina's not a good team, but I mean, I don't know if you consider them, you know, in the playoffs yet. You know, they're kind of like one of the high middle teams. But what I'm saying is for a schedule, though, they're pretty fortunate for what they had to go through.
So you're saying A&M could be a little fool's gold, huh, Dan?
Yeah, but I mean, they won. I mean, they won a lot of their games, so I can't really say they're definitely a good team, but I don't know if they're a great team.
Well, let me ask you this.
If we could show up, we could maybe turn the corner this game.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask is what gives you confidence about Auburn that you think could have them beat Texas A&M? I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with you. I'm curious on what you personally think Auburn can do to win this game Saturday.
Well, I mean, you know, it is a night game, which definitely we've been waiting for one of those. You know, I just didn't feel like this team has been waiting to cross the corner. And I just can't see this whole team just going through the whole year and losing every single close game. I don't think there's a blowout either way in this game, but I don't see us losing every close game. So I'm going to kind of hope and feel like we can pull this one out.
Okay, I like it. Dan, always great to hear from you, my man. Thanks so much for the call. 334-321-1390, loyal listener Dan calling in, says he's starting to feel good about the game, starting to get a little confidence in the Tigers going on this weekend. And look, you see what Vegas thinks. You see what the pros think. They've got Auburn keeping it close. They've got Auburn keeping it within a field goal at home on Saturday night under the lights. And that's probably not a super bad bet, right? That's probably not a crazy thing to say, given what Dan just talked about, the fact that at the end of this thing, Texas A&M will have two teams in their schedule all year, bookended on each end, the front and the back end, that are going to be college football playoff teams. That's Notre Dame, right, that they lost to in the season opener by 10, which could have won that game very easily, right? Florida, no. Arkansas, no. Missouri, no. Mississippi State, no. LSU, no. South Carolina, no. Auburn, no. And then you have Texas on the back end of the schedule. Now, you can give credit to Texas A&M if you want to. You can give them credit and say, hey, they've played or will have played two college football playoff teams. There are teams right now who are in the college football playoff that have not played a single one, right? Indiana, for example. They're going to have one college football playoff team on their schedule by the end of the year, and that's coming up this weekend in Columbus. You've got teams like that. Think about teams like BYU or Boise State. They don't play capable teams. And so I get what Dan's saying, right? Through the middle of the year, sorry, I'm not giving you credit and a lot of it for beating Missouri 41-10. That's an average Missouri team. You struggled on the road in Starkville. You did get a big win against LSU, and then you embarrassed yourself in Columbia, South Carolina. So I think what this shows is that Texas A&M is not perfect. That Texas A&M is not the top-tier team in the SEC. They were for a time, right? They were, especially after they beat LSU the way they did. We thought, well, it's Texas A&M and everybody else, according to the standings. But did anybody really think that A&M was the best team in the Southeastern Conference? Do we even know the answer to that question? I don't think we do. I mean, that's such a loaded question. Because you could give 3, 4, 5 different answers and have a legitimate argument for all of them. I'll open it up. Who's the best team in the SEC right now on November 21st with 2 weeks to go? It could be Texas. It could be Georgia. It could be Alabama. Right? You could still try to make an argument for teams like LSU, if you wanted to, I guess. Ole Miss is up there, right? Tennessee is up there. A&M is up there. Heck, South Carolina has started to make a push for that. But this year is so different because there's no one or two dominating teams. That 2019 LSU team doesn't exist. That back-to-back national championship Georgia squad is not there. The Nick Saban Alabama doesn't exist. And so it's hard for us to truly think and decide on who the best team or the best teams are. But at the end of the day, Texas A&M is still in that category. They're at least in the conversation. And that team comes to Jordan-Hare this Saturday. Whereas Auburn, Doug brought this up to me when I was on his show earlier today on the Max Roundtable. Right? We got into a conversation about, man, Auburn just hasn't played very many good teams. And I kind of slipped up and said, I think they've only played one. I kind of disrespected Vanderbilt a little bit, but I said, look, it's simple. California, not good. Arkansas, not good. Oklahoma, not good. Missouri, no. Vanderbilt, maybe. I said no originally, but I don't know. Like, are we really giving that much credit to Vanderbilt right now? First half of the season, absolutely. But they've taken a step back, right? Kentucky, no. So, for us to sit here and say that A&M hasn't been all that battle-tested, sure, but neither has Auburn. But to what Dan was saying, Texas A&M has won their games and Auburn has not. And so, can Auburn find a way to get it done? Can Auburn find a way to keep it close and finally have the ball bounce their way, right? Hugh Freeze has said this several times this season, where he's never had a year as a head coach at any level where his team has not gotten a single break, where they have not gotten any of those close games to go their way. And for us sports folk, right, you see so many times in any sport at any level, yeah, teams get breaks here and there. Teams get lucky every now and then. Like, the sports gods work in crazy ways, sure. But every team is good lucky and bad lucky. That's how it works. That's how life works. But I think Freeze has a point where he's like, man, we just haven't had anything go our way. And I think part of that is bad luck, sure. But I think part of that is not putting yourself in position to have that good luck. Does that make sense? You can't just show up and hope that something good is going to happen to you. You've got to put in the work to make it possible. You have to execute to make it possible. You have to put yourself in the position to have the ball bounce your way a couple of times. And I think that is where Auburn has fallen short. Does that make sense? Auburn has shown up this year, but they have not done the things to put themselves in a position to win. Because most of the time, when you get it to go your way or you catch that lucky break, right, you have already done what you needed to do to try and win the game. You maybe just needed a doink off the upright, or you needed the turf monster to trip somebody up, or you needed a PI to go your way. Right? But Auburn has not done that this year. They've done enough to be around. But tell me a game, and I think there's a couple, but to an extent, but tell me a game where Auburn has played four quarters of great football and deserved to win that they didn't. Four quarters, an entire game where they played good enough to win and they did not. I don't know. California? Absolutely not. Arkansas? No, you slipped up at the end. Oklahoma? You slipped up at the end. Georgia? You played okay, but that team was just better than you. Missouri? No. Vanderbilt? Nope. You see what I'm saying here? Auburn has not put themselves in positions to win and converted and executed with with, I don't know. I mean, they just, you got to find ways to give yourself a chance. And I think that Auburn has not done that on the positive side. They've had their chances, but then they've given them away or done other things. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel with this game going in, going into this Texas A&M game. And just got a text about some guys over in Texas A&M. Says over an hour of Texas and Texas A&M game breakdown this morning over at Texas A&M. He says, isn't that game next week? That goes back to what we've been saying. Is Texas A&M really worried about Auburn? Are they really concerned with coming down to the Plains? I'm just saying, they absolutely should be. We'll talk more about that when we come back. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. Shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. The Thursday edition of On the Line continues after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And look, as fun as Auburn and Texas A&M is going to be this weekend, there are other big games happening around college football, right? The big one that everybody is talking about is number 5 Indiana. I know, isn't that weird to say? Number 5 Indiana on the road at number 2 Ohio State, where you've got the 10-0 Indiana Hoosiers for the first time in their program history taking on an Ohio State team that has absolutely dominated this, not rivalry, but series is the better word to use there. And a top 5 game, Ohio State's favored by 12. Favored by double digits in this game. Now, it is in Columbus. It's the big new kickoff on Fox at 11 a.m. Central Time. Game day is going to be there. I'm sure the big new kickoff show is going to be there. It's a big deal, right? It's a huge deal in the Big Ten, right? This is Ohio State, whose only loss was by a single point to the Oregon Ducks, the number one team in the land. Taking on an Indiana team, hosting an Indiana team that has the 100-and-something strength of schedule in college football. And so you just look at this game and you think, man, there's no way Ohio State loses. Ain't no way the Buckeyes will lose this type of game, right? Ryan Day's great in big-time games. He's just such a great leader and such a great coach. No way he would lose a game like this. I want to put a pin in this and come back in just a second. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. I believe we may have Jerry. You're on the line. What's up?
Hey, Jacob, this is Terry.
Oh, what's up, Terry? How are you?
Doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I'm going to give Auburn a chance on Saturday night.
Are you giving Auburn a chance on Saturday night?
I'm giving them zero chance. If it's okay. A close game, Peyton Thorne will put on a uniform and play.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
and they've lost every close game this year, and there's they've given us no reason to believe they're going to win one. So now, you know, I agree with what one of the guests on Doug's show said that at Alabama. I don't think Alabama's that good. I think they're a good team. They're not a dominant team. So I give Auburn a chance the next week, but Saturday night in Jordan Hare, no.
You think Auburn has a better chance next week in the Iron Bowl than they do on Saturday night against Texas A&M?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Okay. Auburn at home at night against Texas A&M versus on the road in Tuscaloosa for a mid-afternoon kick. You like
and
the Tigers' chances.
And a line that you used today, Jordan-Hare Stadium has just become another place to play sometimes.
Well, that unfortunately has become a fact. And I say that in hopes that that can be the difference on Saturday night if Auburn fans are able to. They'll show up. They have all year. It's more about Auburn performing inside that stadium to make it what it truly can be.
I just don't. The reasoning, I guess I can understand if you want to win so bad, but the reasoning is Texas A&M hasn't played anybody. And Auburn hasn't either, really, honestly. But Texas A&M is just better, and you know they're just a better team right now.
You think Texas A&M and Alabama, if they go up against each other, A&M would win that game?
Boy, I'm not ready to say that. It'd be close.
Okay.
It'd be close.
Okay.
Like I said, Peyton Thorne's going to put on a uniform and Auburn's going to lose.
What happens if he doesn't play? Which, I mean, he will start. I'm not trying to predict that he won't. But do you think Auburn has a better chance if he doesn't play, Terry?
Yes, I do.
I figured that.
Yes,
was the
I
case.
Do.
I figured
they have a better chance if he doesn't play. And then I don't know if his health is bad or whatever. I mean, I don't wish that on anybody. But that you know, if his shoulder's damaged or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a realistic thing or not. But he's going to play, and he's gonna mind some way to mess it up.
We'll see. That's a prediction. I will say so. Terry, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you, as always.
Take
my man.
Jacob.
334-321-1390. How about that? Terry says Auburn has a better chance in the Iron Bowl next week in Tuscaloosa than they do at home this Saturday night against Texas A&M. Do others feel that way? I'm curious. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. I'm just curious on how others feel. It's a good question. It's a good conversation piece, if you will. If I remember, I'll try to bring that up again tomorrow when we got a full house here in the studio. But I don't know. I mean, on their best day, Texas A&M and Alabama going up against one another, I don't know. I think that'd be a really good game. I'm curious on what a fake betting line would be on that, what a fake projection would be. Neutral site, middle of the day somewhere, out of cornfield, if you will. If A&M and Alabama went at it, who would win that game? I don't know. I would like to say Texas A&M, but at the same time, Alabama's been playing okay, right? They've been playing all right. Have the Crimson Tide, and they are on the road this weekend at Oklahoma. That is a night game there in Norman, one they probably had circled at the beginning of the year, but I don't know. Here's what you can – I don't know, man. Man, I'm torn. I really am torn. I would like to say A&M, but I think my gut would tell me Alabama. But that's an interesting take, Terry, and I appreciate you calling in. Before we get to the bottom of the hour break and talk with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, somebody texted in about this Indiana-Ohio State game. Again, I mean, this is the most coverage this type of game has gotten in the history of Indiana football. I mean, the fact that they're in a top five game and it's on the road at Ohio State, where Indiana gets a win and they're basically going to the college football playoff. There's some people that think they'll make the college football playoff even if they lose. But somebody texted in and says that Indiana might not have the talent, but Cignetti is a much better coach than Ryan Day. That's a heck of a take, but I don't know if it's all that crazy. And if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, going on 3 years in April that I've been doing this show, and if you've listened to it any amount of that time, you know my feelings on Ryan Day. I didn't think he was a good hire when Urban Meyer retired. And I said, yeah, he'll be good for 3, 4, 5 years while Urban's talent's still in there. And Ohio State's never going to have a problem recruiting guys and big-name players. I mean, they've got the most expensive roster in college football, which is a wild sentence to say. They've never had a problem, and they never will have a problem with talent. But they have not won with that talent. And Ryan Day, in big game situations, isn't the most reliable. Remember the question we posed a few weeks ago? Who would you rather have? I think somebody in our text box posed it, right? Ryan Day, James Franklin, in big time games. Remember that? Yeah, that's why people have Indiana with the upset here, because they don't trust Ryan Day. And they've seen what Kurt Cignetti can do in short amount of time in Bloomington. Awesome game that's going to be happening on Saturday. We'll talk more about that, plus other games going on in college football later on in the show. But when we come back, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll talk Auburn, Texas A&M this weekend, plus preview and tell you everything you need to know about Auburn basketball in Maui next week. Brad Law joins us coming up next.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we're 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on ESPN 106.7. And as we get Brad Law on the phone, we'll get to him momentarily. Wanted to just kind of continue what we were talking about before we went to break with all these different college football playoff scenarios and situations and big-time games happening this weekend, of course, highlighted by Indiana and Ohio State. And, you know, the argument is pretty simple, right? Indiana's strength of schedule is terrible. Ohio State's only loss is by one to the number one team in the country. Like, this should not be a top five game, is what a lot of people have been saying. But my big argument, and I talked about this on Tuesday's show when Christian was in here, was the games have to matter, right? Results have to matter. Games have to matter. You should be rewarded for winning your games. Whether you play tough ones or not, you should still be rewarded. And I understand the argument of, well, this is just going to encourage teams to schedule, you know, weak, crappy non-conference games. Yeah, it might. But I'm talking at least in conference. Like, teams, we were just talking about Texas A&M a second ago, right? And how their schedule isn't the strongest. Heck, Auburn's schedule isn't the strongest. Like, what if Auburn was 8-2 right now with their schedule? Would there be people mad that Auburn had not played a difficult schedule? Yeah, absolutely. But us here in Auburn wouldn't be mad about it, right? We wouldn't be upset about it. We'd say, what? What do you mean? We play in the SEC. The schedule's always tough in the Southeastern Conference. Who cares that we had to play Vanderbilt and Missouri and Kentucky? We still play in the Southeastern Conference right here in Auburn. We wouldn't be upset about it, but there would still be fans outside that would say otherwise. So, strength of schedule, that's why I like strength of record, too. I think that's an important one that needs to be looked at in terms of college football playoff rankings. And even for a team like Auburn that's nowhere near any of that, you still should be looking at the numbers and the teams that you've played, when you played them, where you played them, and things like that. And one of those games is Auburn and Texas A&M this weekend. That's going to be happening inside the walls of Jordan-Hare Stadium. And we'll talk about that game and a whole lot more with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us on the phone lines. Brad, what's up, my man? How are you?
Hey, doing great. Love the discussion. Glad to be a part of it. Hope everybody else is doing well.
We are doing well as Auburn gets ready for their final home game of the season. And I know you are a sentimental guy in terms of things like this, and you preach at the beginning of each college football season how we only have a select few, a select amount of home games for Auburn, and that each one should be rewarded and each one should be celebrated. And it's crazy that we're down to the last one.
It is, and I do. I mean, I love it. I remember what it was like to be a kid coming to my first ever Auburn game and to go to only one game a year. Like, I remember what it was like when I only got to go to one, and I don't take for granted now that, you know, in the situation we're in, we get to be at all of them, and it's get to, not have to. And, you know, I think about some 11-year-old or 12-year-old who may only get to go to one game a year, and it's this game Saturday, and it's a huge game for Auburn this Saturday and for Texas A&M. So, and for all those seniors who, regardless of what their record has been combined throughout their college career, this is the last time that they'll go out and represent Auburn inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, and that means something. And I'm excited to see how they do.
Senior day now in college sports is just so much different than it used to be, right? I mean, I think Hugh Freeze had something to say about this on Monday in his presser about, you know, you've got all these seniors, but they've all been here for different amount of time. Some, you know, so many transfers now where you've had one-year seniors, two-year seniors, or guys that have been here throughout their entire time. But there are some really significant players that are seniors on this roster.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, even, I don't know, if you sit down and look at the list, how many of these guys were here from their freshman year on? Not many. Even a guy like Jason Jones, who will go through senior day, from Calera, in-state guy, but he started at Oregon for a year. You know, I struggle to find Eugene Asante, who came from North Carolina. He's a transfer. you know, I look at a who do I find on this? I look at a Luke Deal.
Yeah.
And Luke is one of those rare guys who has been here from the beginning. Oscar Chapman is a guy who's been here from the beginning. You just don't have a lot of 4- and 5-year seniors anymore that are, you know, major parts of your program. And I don't think that's going to slow down anytime soon. It does make you appreciate, though, the guys that have done it and have a, you know, guys who do that have a love for their school that is as strong as or stronger than their, you know, immediate concerns about playing time or payment or anything like that. And that's worth, like, if we want more of it, then we need to celebrate it more. The things we encourage are the things that are going to persist. The things that we encourage and celebrate, the behaviors that we encourage and celebrate the most are the ones that will be repeated, good or bad. And that's true in life. It's true in football programs, too.
Well, Senior Day will be Saturday. I got one for you, Brad. How about Jarquez Hunter? That's one that will be celebrated for sure.
Gosh. Yeah, I would imagine that the ovation for Jarquez, I feel bad that I didn't, you know, come across him as I was thinking of these names.
It's okay. We'll hold it against you.
That ovation is going to be as loud as any we've had at a Senior Day ceremony in a long time.
Well, looking forward to what Senior Day festivities take place inside the stadium before kickoff on Saturday. But then there's a big-time game that is going to be played with a team that has everything in front of them. There's some mathematical possibility, I'm sure, for them to get to Atlanta, still make it to the college football playoff. A&M has everything in front of them, and they're going up against a team that is really just fighting for a bowl game appearance at this point. And there's been so much conversation, Brad, about what Auburn's motivation is other than playing spoiler. What do you think that could be?
Oh, Auburn's motivation is to close the season well, to go to a bowl game, to win a rivalry game, to continue to grow and mature and show that you could beat. If Auburn could win its last two games of the regular season, it will have beaten two top 15 opponents to close out the year. And the amount of momentum that it would carry into recruiting beyond what it already has, the momentum from the fan base and the positive feelings about proof of concept and all those things going forward, in addition to, again, the tangible elements of beating ranked teams, winning senior night, winning a rivalry game, and going to a bowl game, there's a lot. I think there's far more on the table for Auburn internally than there is concern about ruining someone else's season. If your motivation is just ruining somebody else's year, that those roots don't go very deep. The ground is not very fertile. It's kind of rocky, shallow ground. I think what Auburn can do internally is far more significant than that.
And, Brad, you remember 2 years ago, the last time Auburn and Texas A&M played inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium was one of the most memorable games in recent Auburn football history.
There's no question that the pregame fanfare, the environment leading up to the game, the kickoff, the, you know, the first quarter or first half, the support. Auburn showed that it is not a sleeping giant. It's a giant in college football. And now it's a giant that has been – you know, hampered of late and is still trying to kind of get its feet back under it and get some forward momentum where so many other, particularly rivals, have enjoyed stability and forward momentum for a while, for several years or a couple of decades now in some cases. But it showed the support, it showed the passion and the enthusiasm of the fan base. And I think we're going to get to a point to where that example becomes the norm rather than the exception. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see another really electric type of atmosphere. It's going to be hard to replicate that for what that team had been through. I think you'll see passion, and I think you'll see extraordinary support Saturday.
This has been a series between Auburn and Texas A&M that's had incredible games, incredible results, and through the first half of it or so was dominated by the road team that has balanced out here in recent years. But, Brad, I want to ask you, in your and everybody's preparation at the Auburn Sports Network for this A&M team, we've seen the highs and we've seen the lows, right, where they dominated what was then a top 10 Missouri team. They also handled business against LSU, but their last time out against a quality opponent – on the road in Columbia. They lost to South Carolina, and it particularly wasn't close, 44-20. So what is the expectation on what type of play they bring on Saturday to Jordan-Hare?
It's really interesting because their top running back, their running back room has really been decimated by injuries. It happened in the preseason, and then it happened again just a couple of weeks ago with Le'Veon Moss, who was hurt after two carries in the South Carolina game. And I would submit to you that their offense would have looked a lot different against South Carolina if they had had Moss healthy throughout that entire game. I don't know that they win. South Carolina, whether we're really talking about it or not, they're a legit team. They have as many defensive players that are NFL prospects as any team in the Southeastern Conference, with no exception. They are elite, especially defensively. So, and so when A&M lost their key offensive player, that's forced some changes. So now Amari Daniels is the guy, 5'9", 215, and a junior. And, you know, he's been used a fair amount. He has four or five double-digit carry games, but now he's the number one guy. And now a little more is on the shoulders of Marcel Reed, who's a freshman, a true freshman, a very talented. He's going to be a star in the league. But he's a true freshman coming into Jordan-Hare Stadium at night in the final home game of the year with a team with its back against the wall and a fan base who wants to send him out the right way. That's a lot. So, you know, I think containing him and forcing him to throw more than A&M is able to run is the key defensively for Auburn. And then, you know, trying to find a way to spread A&M out and get the running game going against them is the key offensively.
Auburn and Texas A&M inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium under the lights on Saturday. We'll get broadcast information coming up in just a few minutes as we talk with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. Want to flip our attention here quickly to the top five ranked team in the country, the fourth ranked team in the country, Auburn basketball, as they handle business against UNA on Monday night. They dropped 102 to be exact against the Lions from Florence, Alabama, and now they hit on a plane. They are heading to Maui as they take on Iowa State, possibly Dayton, possibly North Carolina, and a whole big combination of teams, Brad. What a tournament that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be something else. I'm looking at KenPom's latest ratings, and Gonzaga moved ahead of Auburn because they doubled up a high school team or something last night. So Auburn's number two. But I look at these ratings, and I see Houston at three. Auburn already beat them. Duke at four. They're going to play them. UConn at five. They could play them. Tennessee at six. They will play them. Iowa State at 7, they got them on Monday. Alabama at 9, they'll play them twice. And, oh, by the way, North Carolina, who they could play as early as Tuesday, is 13th in the KenPom ratings. You're facing half of the top 12 or 13 teams in the country, and a few of them could be within the next week. It's that there's your billing right there. It's, you know, Auburn against whoever they play in Maui will be two of the best teams in the country, full stop, going at it in Maui. It's great.
Really looking forward to that. And then, I mean, we don't know what the other games look like in Maui, but the one that you mentioned is on the schedule. It's Iowa State on Monday. That's an afternoon game between Auburn and Iowa State. And, I mean, how do you prepare? I guess just one game at a time is the simple answer. But when you have such a stacked slate for basically the next month and a half until the SEC schedule starts, because don't forget, this team plays Ohio State. They also play Purdue. I mean, I just don't know. It's so easy to get overwhelmed when you look at that.
It is, and you know, you can't look past the fact that Purdue got absolutely clobbered by Marquette, which probably waters down Alabama's, you know, loss even more to Purdue.
There you go.
Or makes that sting a little more. But let's take every opportunity when we're on the air in Auburn to take that shot. I think the way you prepare is one game at a time, and specifically in Maui, they kind of treat it the way they treat the NCAA tournament, where you at least know the couplet. You know the two teams that you could play next, and there's some advanced scouting on those two teams. But, you know, I was with them last year in New York City, and they came back after winning their first game in that Legends Classic and immediately started, I mean, at midnight, the same night after just playing and winning a game, they were watching film on the next day's opponent. And you have to do that. You just kind of, you know, it's good they're going out there today because they'll do some fun stuff on Friday and Saturday and maybe some on Sunday, too, in addition to the game prep. And then once that tournament starts, it's all about play, rest, recover, learn, prep, play, rinse, and repeat.
Yeah, Chad Baker Mazzara, I believe it was him who described it as they're treating it like the Nashville SEC tournament where you have a game and you're going to play a lot of games and a lot of days if you make a run. A good thing about Maui is you get three games guaranteed. So you will play three games in 3 days, and they're all going to be good for Auburn as they head out to go ahead.
Yeah, no, they are. And just kind of to prove that point, so we talked about the KenPom ratings of Iowa State and North Carolina. Dayton is currently 39th. In the KenPom rating. So you're either going to play a top 10 or a top 13 team, or you're going to play number 39. The other teams are Memphis, UConn, Colorado, Michigan State. You're going to play one of those four teams on Wednesday. What's the worst of those four games? I should have looked it up before the interview, so it was more than a rhetorical question. But
I would say Colorado.
Yeah, so Colorado is 70th.
Okay.
Memphis is 37.
Well, there you go.
So the worst game you could have in Maui in a stretch of 3 days, the worst, which could be, you know, like it could be UConn, the two-time defending national champion, or it could be Colorado, who's 70th. You don't have a bad game on that schedule next week.
It's going to be a lot of fun to keep up with, a lot of fun for Auburn. Hopefully they can bring back a couple of wins. Three would be great, but I don't know if that's the legitimate expectation. But, Brad, what we need from you before we let you go, there's a lot of broadcasts going to be happening on the Auburn Sports Network with football, basketball, times that may or may not be known and floating and everything like that. So tell everybody what they need to know, when they're happening, where they're happening, and how they can find it.
All right, deep breath. So Saturday, we're on the air at 3:30 with the Tiger Tailgate Show. And if somebody wants to bring donuts to Jason Campbell at the Tailgate Show site, that'd be wonderful. I'm sure he would be appreciative. So that's Saturday. Of course, Wings has coverage starting at 1:30
Correct.
On Saturday with the warm-up. So make sure you tune in for that on Wings 94.3. And then Tiger Tailgate Show at 3:30, kickoff 6:35. Monday is the day that I really want to push here because – we're going to do Tiger Talk before basketball. Tiger Talk at 6 at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. People may be out of town for the start of Thanksgiving week, and so, you know, those who are local, those who are listening right now, go ahead and make those plans now to be at Baumhauer's with us Monday night for Tiger Talk. So Monday night, live, 6 o'clock with Coach Freeze to talk about the Iron Bowl, and then 7:30 Monday, also on Wings 94.3 pregame for basketball against Iowa State. And then I'm not going to get into Tuesday, Wednesday yet, Jacob, because that's, you know, it depends on whether you win or lose on Monday, what time you play Tuesday, same for Wednesday. So we'll just kind of take those one day at a time, and we'll give people the info as we get it.
Awesome. Brad, appreciate you. Appreciate your time and all your wonderful information. Have a great weekend. Have a great call for you and everybody at the Auburn Sports Network. And we'll not talk to you again next week because Thanksgiving will be a week from today. So if I don't talk to you between now and then, happy Thanksgiving, sir.
You're not doing a show on Thanksgiving Day?
I'm not that committed, Brad.
How many calories will you have packed away at 251 next Thursday afternoon?
Oh, I don't even want to get into it. It's going to be unbelievable.
I love it. All right, War Eagle, have a great week.
Thanks so much, Brad. War Eagle to you as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. We got to get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one, and launch ourselves into hour number two.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, we appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN. And yeah, a lot of busy days, busy broadcasts for the Auburn Sports Network coming up. And like he said, the ones you need to know are Saturday, right, for the football game. We will have all of our pregame coverage on Wings 94.3, starting at 1:30, game day on Wings. Jack Cutton, Uncle T-Bone, they will be on the air at 1:30. Then the Tiger Tailgate Show takes over at 3:30, kickoff just after 6:30. So all of that on Wings 94.3. And then on Monday, you're going to have Auburn basketball. That game starts at 8 o'clock Central Time. That is Auburn and Iowa State happening 8 o'clock Central Time. Tip-off, pregame starts at 7:30. That is after Tiger Talk on Monday, as Brad was telling you. So Tiger Talk 6 to 7, throw it back to some music for a little bit, and then we will have the countdown to tip-off and opening tip between Auburn and Iowa State. That is on Monday at 8 o'clock. So keep all that in mind. And then, like he said, we just don't really know when the games are going to take place because it all depends on who you beat, if you win, if you lose, whatever that is. So we'll keep you updated the best we can. And speaking of Auburn, the Auburn Sports Network had a really good game here last night on ESPN 106.7. Auburn women's basketball out on the road taking on Oregon and then California. They played the Ducks last night, a top 25 team in the country. Good buddy of mine, Britt Bowen, was on the call. And, man, what a great, great game that was. I was able to catch the end of it after I got off the air with Auburn High Basketball. They fall 70-68, do the Tigers. They lose by two to a top 25 team on the road, where the Tigers made a heck of a comeback. They had to have it. They were leading after the first. They got outscored by nine in the second quarter, held strong in the third, and made a little comeback in the fourth, but unable to do it. Last time I had heard, they had been down by 12 or 13, something like that. So shout out to them. Shout out to Coach Tay and the women. They fought hard against Oregon, and they're going to play California coming up tomorrow. That's right here on ESPN, 106.7. Pregame will start at 7:45. Tip-off set for 8 o'clock here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. So I got a text while we were talking to Brad about something we had been discussing before he came on, and it was about who would be favored between Texas A&M and Alabama. And I got a text that says, according to the FPI math, the Football Power Index, this says Bama would be about a 10-point favorite against Texas A&M on a neutral field. Does that sound right to you? I'm not questioning whether that's right or wrong. Does that just not sound odd to you? Bama favored by 10 over Texas A&M? Wow. That, I guess it makes sense given the fact that A&M's only favored by 2.5. Tells me Las Vegas don't care about A&M. They don't believe in the Aggies and Mike Elko, who are only focused on the Longhorns. A lot more to get to coming up in hour number two. Chris Gordy, college football, college basketball, you name it, we got it. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can find that there. We post the show audio for you each and every day, so be sure you go and check that out. In hour number one, we talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, got his thoughts on Auburn football this weekend as they take on Texas A&M with Senior Day. A lot of seniors to be honored on that football team. Also got his thoughts on the Auburn basketball trip that they're making out to Maui. Plus, he gave us a lot of good broadcast info in terms of what you need to know for the radio broadcast for football and basketball. and Tiger Talk coming up next week. So had that in hour number one. Also had a lot of good conversation about college football and the playoff and games coming up this weekend. And I want to dive back into that here in hour number two. We're also going to talk with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. He'll join us coming up in 30 minutes to talk about all the games happening around the Southeastern Conference and get his thoughts on how the rest of this season is going to shake out, right? I mean, there's a lot going on and a lot of things to still be solved in terms of what's happening here in this conference, and so we'll get his thoughts coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Until then, you've still got time to be a part of the show. If you want to, you can give me a call or shoot me a text. The phone call number is 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get into content, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of my show each and every day here on ESPN. Well, we look at what's happening around college football this weekend, and yes, it's highlighted by Indiana and Ohio State. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. But you look at what's happening in terms of teams that are in and or close to being in to the college football playoff, right? You've got Miami, who's back at home this weekend, taking on Wake Forest. You've got Ole Miss on the road, as they are taking on Florida. That is in Gainesville. What a big opportunity that is for the Gators and Billy Napier to get bowl eligible this weekend against Ole Miss, who is still fighting, right? They're still hanging on and clinging to a college football playoff relevancy. And what a disappointing way that would be to end the season, basically, for Ole Miss if they go down and lose to Florida, a team that was just written off by everybody and was dead to rights. They could get bowl eligible this weekend against the Rebels. Wouldn't that be crazy, huh? That's a big game happening in college football. You also have another one in the SEC, a couple of them actually. Kentucky on the road in Austin taking on Texas. And I have not done the research. I'm a bad radio host, but my guess would be this is the first time the Cats have played in Austin, right? Unless there's some crazy game that I'm forgetting about, that would be my assumption. And from what I've heard on social media and what I've seen on social media, sounds like there's quite a few Big Blue Nation representatives heading to Austin this weekend, that game 2:30 on ABC. Looking forward to that one. You also have another big one in the SEC, Alabama on the road at Oklahoma. Bama favored by almost 2 touchdowns against the Sooners in Norman. Crazy on what that game could have been. And then another one that I don't know if a whole lot of people are talking about in the Southeastern Conference, and I just got a text about it, so we're going to get there in just a second. It plays right into what I was talking about. Love when my listeners are on it like they are. LSU and Vanderbilt. The fact that this is a 6:45 game on the SEC network is a hidden gem. Let me tell you what. Because at the same time, all three of these games will be played. Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas A&M and Auburn, and Vanderbilt and LSU. They're all going to be happening the exact same time. Vanderbilt on the road in Baton Rouge. Both teams 6-4 overall, 3-3 in conference play. And the text message that I just got in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067, says this. Which is the more likely upset? Florida over Ole Miss, or Vandy over LSU? Let me say that again. What's the more likely upset? Florida to beat Ole Miss at home, right? Florida to take down Ole Miss in Gainesville, or Vandy to go on the road and beat LSU? Am I crazy? Am I crazy to say I think it's Florida to beat Ole Miss? Is that a wild thing? I don't know. I don't know, because as it stands, okay, Ole Miss is an 11-point favorite on the road in Gainesville. LSU is an 8-point favorite at home against Vanderbilt. That line makes a little bit more sense, right? That one makes a little bit more sense, being at home for LSU, being a home favorite over Vanderbilt, who their last time out, right, their last game that we saw, they just got beat down by South Carolina. And so for Florida and Ole Miss, though, you've got a double-digit home underdog and the Florida Gators with a chance to get bowl eligible after they've backed their guy in Billy Napier, right? And they just beat LSU a week ago? Give me the Gators. If I have to pick one for an upset to happen, whether it be Florida beating Ole Miss or Vanderbilt to beat LSU, give me the Gators at home. Absolutely. Am I saying that it's 100% going to happen? No. But I think it could. I definitely think it could. It's that 11 a.m. game on ABC. So I do always say the road team has the upper hand in that type of a matchup with that scenario. But, God, wouldn't this be just the most Lane Kiffin thing you've ever seen? Wouldn't this be the most Lane Kiffin thing you've ever saw? For him to not only basically eliminate him and his program from the college football playoff, but do it to the team that he's been rumored to go to for the last 3 years. Wouldn't that be wild? Isn't college football cool? Isn't college football awesome sometimes? Aren't the story writers up there, the college football gods that be, aren't they great sometimes? Not, they don't get it right every time, but wouldn't that be something special? And I think Florida, that would allow Florida, think about how crazy this is. That would allow the Gators, if they beat Ole Miss this weekend, to finish the season on a three-game winning streak, because remember, their final game of the season is in Tallahassee against a 1-9 Florida State team. They'll be 2-9 when the Gators come to town, I hope, because they play Charleston Southern this weekend. If you don't win that game, fire everybody that's wearing an FSU logo inside the building. Get them out and restart. And people have told me, look, Auburn may not be in a great spot, but it could always be worse. You could be Florida State. I agree to disagree with that. Don't want to get to that conversation just yet, but Florida has a chance to finish the season on a three-game win streak. And ladies and gentlemen, that would put them at 7-5. That would put them at 7-5 after going through what was considered murder's row at the end of the season with Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State. Now, LSU is not as good as we thought they were. They were still a top 25 team when the Gators beat them, right? Florida got embarrassed by Texas, and I'd say they hung around with Georgia. But if I had to choose, I think there's a better chance of Florida getting it done against Ole Miss. Even with all the quarterback issues and the injury issues and everything like that, I'll take the Gators to have a better chance. But I still think the Vanderbilt upset could happen in Baton Rouge because, man, what in the world's going on with Brian Kelly? What in the world is happening with Brian Kelly at LSU, where here we are again, it's another disappointing season. It's another disappointing season in Baton Rouge. You're 6-4, right? You're 6-4 after you had everything in front of you. You beat Ole Miss. You beat Arkansas. Everything's going well. Everything's going fine and dandy. Here come the LSU Tigers. Here's the formula to get them to Atlanta. Then you go on the road to A&M and embarrass yourself. You then let Alabama come in to Tiger Stadium at night and beat you down. And then you go on the road to Florida and do that. The noise in Baton Rouge is starting to get louder. It's starting to get a little bit more frequent, too, is it not? About, is Brian Kelly really the answer? Is Brian Kelly really the dude for LSU? Is he really the one that's going to get them back to consistently competing? I don't know. It was easy to say that when they were 6-1. And their only loss was to USC. It was easy to say, oh, here we go. Brian Kelly's turned it around. He's got LSU going in the right direction. But now after a three-game skid, and I'm not going to say the end of the schedule's easy, right, with Vanderbilt this weekend and Oklahoma the weekend after that. Both games are being played in Death Valley. But, man, even if you split those games, I don't think the LSU fans are going to be super happy. Even if you split them, they're not going to be happy. Heck, even if you win them, is 8-4 good enough for LSU this season, given the talent they have, given the fact that their defense isn't all that terrible compared to what it was a year ago? It's still not good. Still not good, but it's better. And the fact that you have Garrett Nussmeier, your guy in Baton Rouge, and the season is basically over for the Tigers of LSU. So, big games this weekend, man, inside the SEC. I can't wait for some of these to play out. And we're going to get some answers, I think. Maybe. Well, maybe not. Maybe we don't. Maybe I rethink that. I mean, unless there are crazy upsets, let's say that everything goes chalk, which we know what the possibilities and the odds are on that. But let's play the what-if game for a second. All right, stick with me here. Let's say that what if everything goes chalk this weekend in the SEC? Ole Miss beats Florida. Georgia does what they're supposed to do against UMass. Tennessee beats UTEP. Texas beats Kentucky. South Carolina beats Wofford. Arkansas doesn't matter. Missouri, Mississippi State doesn't matter. Alabama beats Oklahoma. Texas A&M beats Auburn. And Vanderbilt LSU doesn't matter. So if everything goes chalk, then I don't think anything really changes. That's what's unfortunate about this weekend, is if the favorites all win, nothing happens. Because there aren't two teams playing each other this weekend out of the Southeastern Conference that are both fighting for playoff spots. But you start to look ahead to what next weekend could hold, and now you're talking. Now we got some things going, right? You have games this weekend where one team could play spoiler. Again, there's that word, Auburn with A&M, Oklahoma with Bama, Florida with Ole Miss. And let me take a sidestep here for just a second. Let me pose a question to you, listener, fan, loyal radio listener out there. Of those three games, hold on, I'd already clicked ahead to next week, but I don't want to get that far yet. Out of these three matchups, Florida versus Ole Miss, oh, never mind. Four. I don't think anybody's going to pick this one, but I guess I'll throw it in there. Florida versus Ole Miss, Kentucky versus Texas, Oklahoma versus Alabama, and Auburn versus Texas A&M. Four teams that are playing four college football playoff caliber teams. Who's the most likely to get the upset? It's kind of a bigger question to what the text box had. But out of the four teams that are playing in the spoiler role this weekend, which one has the best chance to get the upset? Is it Auburn? Is it Oklahoma? Is it Kentucky? Or is it Florida? And folks, I think it's very fair to say that Auburn has the best chance to do that. I think it's very fair to say that Auburn has the best chance to spoil a season this weekend of the four teams that have the opportunity to do it. Because as much as I want to hop on the Florida train against Ole Miss, I'm not quite ready to do it yet. Kentucky ain't running with Texas. I don't care how many Big Blue Nation fans show up. I don't care how much blue is in that stadium. They're not sniffing Texas. That defense is fine, but the offense is putrid. Texas will roll in that game. There's a reason they're favored by almost three touchdowns. Okay, Oklahoma, they'll give Alabama a fight, but the tide will roll in Norman on Saturday. And so, I think Auburn has the best chance to do it this weekend. And while there may not be any top 25 playoff versus playoff games, we could still get some answers if there is an upset to happen inside the SEC. And just to flash ahead really quickly here to what next week holds, right, you still have a lot of these teams in action, right? Ole Miss hosting Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl on Friday afternoon, which the fact that they took that off of Thanksgiving night is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Georgia Tech is next week. I'm not going to try and hype that game up. I refuse to do it. Tennessee goes to Vanderbilt next week. Tennessee still alive in the college football playoff. South Carolina plays at Clemson next week. Two teams trying to get back in to the college football playoff. Alabama, of course, hosting Auburn. And then Texas and Texas A&M. So, will we get all the answers we need out of the Southeastern Conference? I don't know. We're going to find out. But that's why the games matter. That's why the games are played. For the formula to work itself out. And for the formula to work itself out, you need results. And you're going to get those starting this weekend and carrying into next weekend with Rivalry Weekend. All right, let's take our first break here in hour number one. Got a couple of more texts to get to in the on-the-line text box. Want to talk a little college basketball as well before we welcome in Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. All that coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's talk a little college basketball here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And to do so, you got to go back to what happened last night. Got to go back to what happened last night as Brad Law had a couple funnies today. I'm proud of him, man. He let a couple jokes go on the airwaves today. He said Gonzaga tripled up or doubled up another high school team, and that's exactly what they did. They played Long Beach State last night. So, woohoo. Good for you, Gonzaga. But the game of the night was the fact that Alabama, up at the BJCC in Birmingham, they were not playing host, but kind of. The number 8 team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide, they played Illinois, a top 25 team, the 25th ranked team in the country. And the Tide, they get a nice win, 100-87, where they were up by 14 at the half. They actually got outscored in the second half, but only by a point. And look, that's a nice win for Alabama. It really, really is, because we've talked about, ad nauseum it seems, about these two schedules that Auburn and Alabama are playing over the next handful of weeks. And it really is, fascinating to see what they're doing. And for Alabama to bounce back and get that win against Illinois, props to them. And now Auburn gets to really see what Alabama can do against a common opponent. Because Alabama's next opponent are the Cougars of Houston. That's right. They'll play Houston on the 26th. What is that? Is that Tuesday? I believe that is. Yes, that is on Tuesday is that game that Alabama will play Houston. And remember, that is being played out in Las Vegas. So that is a true neutral site game, not on the road in downtown Houston. But then you have to remember that Alabama will then get the chance to watch Auburn compete against a common opponent when Auburn plays Purdue coming up in December. And Alabama plays North Carolina, who Auburn could play coming up in the second round of the Maui Invitational. So, common opponents are kind of cool in terms of what Auburn and Alabama could see in each other here early in this non-conference slate. And I saw people who said last night after Alabama's win that they're the deepest, most talented team they've ever seen, that they're just the greatest college basketball team ever assembled. Well, I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that, okay? Here's what I do know. I know that they're very good. I know that Alabama's a very good team. Are they the greatest thing I've ever seen? No, not anywhere close. They're not even undefeated. They already lost. How can they be perfect if they haven't even won in their first 5 games? They haven't won them all yet. And I know they were hard games, but give me a break, man. Give me a break. And I understand that they had problems. Look, Mark Sears didn't even score last night, and they still beat Illinois. That's great. Good for you. But let's see what the records look like between Auburn and Alabama when SEC play begins. Let's see what the net rankings look like when SEC play begins. Let's see what KenPom looks like when the SEC play and SEC slate begins. Because I have a good feeling that Auburn will be ahead of Alabama in all of those. All of them. And I'm not just saying this because we do sports talk radio in Auburn. I'm saying this as a basketball fan, considered basketball connoisseur in my own right because I just watch it so much. Right? I'm not an expert. I'm not an analyst on television or the radio or whatever. I love college basketball. I've watched these two teams play. I've watched them play. Put them on neutral site and play 10 times. Auburn's winning 7 of those. Auburn wins 7 out of 10 right now against Alabama. The way both teams are playing, give me Auburn 70% of the time. Could that change as the season goes on? Sure. Absolutely it could. You've got ups and downs. You have injuries. You have all sorts of things that can happen in a college basketball season. But right now, I just believe Auburn's the better basketball team. And it is what it is to have the debate right now. But at the end of the day, in common ground, these are the two best teams in the SEC, I think, early on. Is that fair to say? I would think so. Absolutely do. And there's going to be some really good teams in the SEC. I've given a lot of love and early season credit to Kentucky, who I think is going to be really, really good. Really, really good. I think Florida is still really good. I think that Tennessee is still really good. I think Texas A&M is solid. I think Arkansas is still solid. I think you can have some of these sneaky teams get up there who may not be world beaters, but are still going to be tough outs on a Tuesday or Wednesday night on the road, or heck, even at home. I don't know. It fired me up. I wrote it down on my show rundown today because I saw people reacting and Bama fans acting like they won the national title last night after they beat Illinois. And again, it was a great win, but it was 45 minutes from campus. It was 45 minutes from campus, and Illinois solid, but they're not Houston. Show me what you can do against that Houston team that took Auburn to the mat, but the Tigers found a way to get it done on the road. Show me what you can do against them. Show me what you do when you've lost 2 or 3 games in a row, if that's the case for Alabama, which is a very, very possible thing. And same thing goes for Auburn. Not that I want Auburn to lose 2 and 3 times in a row, but I do want to see how they react to a loss. Because we've seen, right, we've seen Auburn teams in the past who get a big head, right, who get the mindset of we can't be beat, we're unstoppable, nobody can catch us. And then all of a sudden, you lose early in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament, in situations like that, and the season's over just like that. So it's too early to tell who's the best team in the land. It's too early to say who's the best in the SEC and who's going to win it, but let's pump the brakes on a win over Illinois in Birmingham in the 5th game of the season. That's all I'm saying. All right, when we come back, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he'll join us. We'll talk all things college football around the Southeastern Conference and his thoughts on what's happening this weekend and next as the regular season comes to an end.
Are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Appreciate you being with us on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. And we welcome in a guest that's been with me for a long, long time on this day and this time for, I can't even keep up with how long it's been at this point. But always a pleasure to have him on and talking all things Southeastern Conference. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He joins us now. Chris, happy Thursday, my man. We just got a couple of weeks left of the college football season.
I know, a little depressing, all this talk of who's going to get the playoff and who's not, all this kind of stuff. It's, guys, we've got 2 more weeks of regular season games. Let's enjoy them. I mean, you're going to spend an entire offseason debating transfer portal and recruiting and everything else. You want to enjoy the actual games while we got them.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much going on with the SEC and games that maybe aren't, I mean, just, you know, super, super, I don't know the best way to describe it. I mean, they're not getting the attention that I think they should this weekend, right? Just because it's, you know, Florida is Ole Miss. No way the Gators beat them, right? Or LSU Vanderbilt, a game that I think more people should be talking about. Or even Auburn and Texas A&M, right? A game that nobody cares. No way the Aggies could come to Jordan-Hare and lose this weekend. I mean, it's one of those weekends that could derail the playoff stuff, but it's not technically supposed to.
Yeah, it's I describe this weekend's games as kind of, it's a slate. You look at the game and you kind of make a face and go like, ew, like, I don't know. This isn't like the sexiest week of matchups, but it certainly is ones that matter for people with still something on the line. It is fascinating though for teams with nothing on the line. I mean, LSU now with four losses, you know, they're not playing for anything other than pride at this point. And that's where you kind of look at the players and look at the teams and go, you know, what is pride? I mean, you know, it's like losing to Vandy. Does it matter? Or so, you know, it is kind of interesting from a standpoint of, you know, I was talking to somebody about this, about Alabama. Had that LSU-Alabama game been flipped and had LSU beaten Bama and Bama had three losses, how do you think Bama would be playing right now? Would they have any motivation to go play on the road at Oklahoma knowing, like, basically there's nothing really on the line, the playoffs out the window? So it is just kind of fascinating for that LSU-Vandy matchup because it's like, well, how motivated is LSU? Well, how motivated should they be where it's, you know, like you're playing for a spot in the Reliant Quest Bowl or the Texas Bowl at this point? Like, it really is kind of funky and you know, what's the motivation here? Now, for Florida, I mean, we know what the motivation is against Ole Miss. You can pull off an upset here. Man, that's six wins. You're going to a bowl game. You know, Arkansas, they're looking for their sixth win against Louisiana Tech. So there's some other teams this weekend that, like, you're playing for something, but for the teams that have nothing to play for, man, you really start to question, like, what, you know, all this talk, it used to be for the Final Four. Now it's Final 12, and it's great the playoff has expanded, but still, you got teams out there with 3-4 losses saying, well, what the hell's the difference between this crappy bowl or that crappy bowl?
Does LSU have pride in the gold jerseys they are going to be wearing, Chris?
I don't know, man. It's stupid. I'm a purist. Like, LSU forever wore the white, you know, the gold helmets with the white jersey and the gold pants. That's LSU, home and away. And I don't know. Nike has gone off the deep end, I guess, with the whole Oregon thing, you know, over the years.
Sure.
Like, they're just infatuated with teams wearing different variations of their uniform. And I just think it's so stupid. It's like, what happened to tradition? Like, what happened to that? Nobody in Baton Rouge gives a damn that LSU will be wearing gold jerseys. They want to see a team win a football game is all they want to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, Auburn fans are kind of split down the middle, right? During the Harsin era, there was the big push for orange jerseys, which would, I mean, anybody that has been watching Auburn football since before 2000 would just be in a major uproar. And then every time they've worn orange or white face masks, Chris, Auburn gets beat like a drum. So everybody just says, to heck with that. Just go back to normal. Wear tradition. We can't handle that anymore. And so had a question here earlier in our text box, and I kind of expanded on it. I want to get your thoughts here. In the four games this weekend that debut teams, or I guess are have teams in them that are still alive in the college football playoff, they're playing four teams that are not anywhere near the college football playoff. So which one of those teams has the best chance to play the spoiler role this weekend? Is it Florida versus Ole Miss? Is it Kentucky versus Texas? Oklahoma versus Alabama? Or Auburn versus Texas A&M?
Yeah, it's Florida Ole Miss. I mean, you know, it's so funny how I hear people talking about Ole Miss. Look, was it a good win 2 weeks ago over Georgia? Yes. But I haven't heard people talk about Ole Miss as, oh, they're a team you don't want to see in the playoff and all this. I'm going, when in the damn history of Ole Miss has that ever been a, like, if there's one team you don't want to see, it's Ole Miss. Like,
Lane Kiffin. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, has he done a good job there? Yes. But, like, don't sell me on Ole Miss is this undefeatable team and, like, oh, my God, you don't want to play those guys. Like, they're going into the swamp. I think it works in Ole Miss' favor that it's an early game, I think. I mean, if this were a night game in the swamp, I think that'd be a little bit different. LSU ran into that last week. It was a 2:30 kick. But by, you know, the fourth quarter, that place, it was night in the swamp. That place was loud. It was dark. It was rocking. They were playing Tom Petty. I mean, you know, and there was blood in the water. LSU kept the door open for Florida, and Florida grabbed it and took it. Same thing could happen with Ole Miss. Look, DJ Lagway is a hell of a talent. Like, for him, you know, what was all the talk last week about LSU was they can't stop a running quarterback. Well, DJ Lagway, with the hurt hamstring, they basically made the decision, you're not going to run. Just throw it. And he showed his arm is talented enough that he could win a game with just his arm. And if Ole Miss's defense doesn't come ready to play, DJ Lagway is going to have some success. And they might find themselves in a fourth quarter game there. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't put it past Florida, man. That's the team that I would not mess around with if I'm Ole Miss. And Ole Miss knows they got everything to lose here. Like, Florida at least knows they get Florida State next week. And it's not a guaranteed W, but it's pretty – I mean, Florida State's a dumpster fire. So
what a disaster.
You know, Florida can get their sixth win there. But Florida's going to this game thinking, we can get our sixth win now. Forget next week. So that's the one that scares me. Our buddy Chris Marler that I had on Locked On SEC every week, he says – and he's a Bama guy. He's afraid of Oklahoma this weekend. He just thinks going into OU, going into Norman, he thinks Bama has had times where they lose their focus this year, and obviously they did it, you know, they lost that Vandy. He thinks this is a dangerous spot for Bama. If they don't come in focused and they're thinking about the Iron Bowl and they're thinking about the playoff and SEC championship, you know, they could find themselves in a fourth quarter with a pretty good Oklahoma defense. Now, the one saving grace is Oklahoma's offense stinks. But who knows, man? Jackson Arnold is a five-star talent. I've said it all along. At any given moment, something could click for him and he could play well. We saw it at Ole Miss. They led at halftime. It was still a close game. Late in that third quarter. So we'll see. Again, don't think the upset's going to happen, but our buddy Chris Marler thinks Bama very well could be on upset alert at Oklahoma.
Ain't no way Alabama would go and lose to Oklahoma. No, not with everything in front of them. No way they're looking ahead to a 4-6 Auburn team in the Iron Bowl. Like, that would be crazy. And I'm not surprised you didn't pick Auburn there, Chris. It's okay.
Well, that's the one that I've been going back and forth there. Like, literally, it was going to be my pick last week. And then we turned the calendar on Sunday. Paul Feinbaum's on every network saying, well, I think A&M is in trouble with Auburn. And then everybody, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, jumped on the bandwagon with this pick going, man, night game at Jordan-Hare, like, Auburn's going to pull off the upset. I'm like, okay, now I'm turned off. Because if everybody's picking it, now I'm turned off by it. But I will say, I mean, I do think that who's my guy, the freshman defensive player that Q Freeze credited this past week?
DeMarcus Riddick.
Riddick. He is he's been awesome, man. And you know, given the Marcel Reed that you're going to see with the running ability, you know, if he can keep him in check, I don't know, man. Like, I do think Auburn will have a chance, but, you know, that last week, was that an anomaly in how Peyton Thorne played, or was that a confidence builder? And he's going to come into this game confident and take care of the football, and Cam Coleman's going to go off again. I mean, I'd love to see it. I just, again, when everybody and their brother's jumping on the bandwagon for it, I'm like, that's when I'm out. I'm like, I don't know, man. I can't do it. But Auburn absolutely has a chance here to do something that would make Auburn fans feel a little bit better about in an otherwise rough season.
The last confidence booster that Peyton Thorne had was Alabama A&M, where they put up 73 points. They turned around and lost to California the next week because they couldn't keep the football in their own hands. So I don't know if that ideology is they're fluid there, Chris.
Yeah, and the defensive front from A&M is going to be one of the best you've seen all season.
Oh, no doubt.
So I'm a little concerned for the Auburn offensive line. To me, we'll know early. If Jarquez Hunter's running the football and they're able to get 4 or 5 yards to carry and move the chains, then I'll feel good about Auburn. But if the run game's getting shut down and they got to win the game with Peyton Thorne throwing, it could be a disaster.
Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joining us here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika. When you look at what happened in the college football playoff rankings this week, right, you still got four of the top five teams in the country are out of the Big Ten. You've got Texas at 3 from the SEC, Bama's at 7, Ole Miss 9, Georgia back inside of it at 10, Tennessee at 11. But don't get confused, right? You've got the rankings and then you've got the bracket. They're two completely separate things here, and Texas A&M still on the outside looking in, and South Carolina still lingering around as well.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Somebody asked me the other day about you know, please explain this to me. How does this work? Because fans are confused, and I get it.
Like, we knew they would be.
Just the whole thing about rewarding teams and moving this team up and all that, like, it's just so it's, you know, this conference champion moves up and whatever. Like, it needs to just be as simple as we rank the teams. The top 12 teams are 1 through 12, and that's who makes the bracket. Like, but no, it's a world where we have to describe, well, yeah, Tennessee is 11th in the ranking, but they're not actually in the top 12. And somebody told me, wait, stop right there. Make that make sense. And it's like, well, you know, BYU is down here, but they jump up. It's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, this is definitely something that's going to have to change moving forward. And I'm at the point now where I'm almost rooting for them to please leave out several SEC teams. Please only put three SEC teams in the playoff. Because you know what that's going to lead to? The end of the college football playoff, or at least the SEC's participation in it. So, you know, but please, committee, keep rewarding these bad Big Ten teams that played a terrible schedule, but you go, well, wins are better than losses, so we got to put you in. Even though you didn't play anybody, you still won your crappy schedule, so we're going to reward that. Like, please do that, because Greg Sankey will be on the phone so quick saying, we're out, peace out, see ya.
And not to mention Notre Dame, who's in that category too. I mean, who is still just hanging around because they don't have to play in a conference and they can just kind of play whoever they want to, Chris. And it doesn't really matter because while they can't get a first round bye, I don't think Notre Dame cares. Oh, did we lose Chris? Maybe we did. Maybe we didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I got
okay.
You.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think you're right. I really do. I mean, I think with the SEC, because they're so powerful and Greg Sankey is so adamant and believes in how good his conference is, that he should be on the phone in that situation, man. He should be livid and fired up. And look, people on the outside of this conference, especially a lot of the Big Ten people right now, are like, yeah, we're winning games and you guys are just mad because you didn't win all your games like we did. But they don't understand. Like, yes, the Big Ten has highly ranked teams, but they still don't play teams like A&M and Arkansas and LSU and, heck, now even Vanderbilt week in and week out.
Yeah, and it gets tough, too, because not all SEC schedules are created equal.
Sure.
Like Texas sitting there pretty at number 3. They're an SEC team, but they've avoided half the SEC, like and the better half of the SEC. They haven't had to play Bama, Tennessee, LSU. I mean, they avoided all the top, you know, the top 10 teams, I guess you would say. They did play Georgia. They got their butts beat, and they will face A&M in basically a championship game, elimination game next week, but it's just tough, man. I mean, I think we've got to, when this committee, the next iteration of the committee comes around, they have to stress wins, quality wins. I mean, Indiana, I even said this today, like, Indiana's going to play Ohio State tomorrow. Even if they win, look, anybody can get up for one big game, right? I used to say this all the time about that year in that, what was it, the Fiesta Bowl when Boise State beat Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, look, they beat them once, great. Try doing it, you know, playing 8 Oklahomas and tell me how you do. You know, that's the tough part about it. And that's what makes the SEC so tough, is like, it's a brutal schedule. Georgia gets dinged for playing, you know, 5 top 25 teams and going 3-2 against them. They get dinged, you know, and then Indiana plays 0 top 25 teams, but they're unscathed, so we reward them. And it's like, well, crap, I'll just, you know, if I'm Georgia, I say, well, let me get out of the SEC. I'll just go play in a dinky conference and run the table, because apparently that's all the committee cares about. And that's it's stupid. You got to take it all into effect. If you've got three wins over top 14 teams, that outweighs one or two of your losses. It just does.
The playoff could be really, really cool, and I think it still will be cool, but the system is broken in how it is working right now, and sure, we're mad because it's working against the SEC, a conference that has dominated college football for so long, but it's because we know that it's still the best conference in college football. We're going to see some great games this weekend, great games next weekend as well. Chris, we'll talk off-air, try to get you on the show pre-recorded sometime, or maybe a different day next week, since I won't make you get on here on Thanksgiving. I know you're a committed guy to the business, but won't make you hop on the phone lines on Thanksgiving Day. So tell the people where they can find you and what you got coming up between now and then.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcast. Like I said, got our episode Chris Marler up coming up in about an hour. We'll have our SEC squad show up talking a roundtable of all things SEC. And Yeah, a week from right now. I think I'm going to be asleep on my couch watching. Who is it? It's going to be.
It's Dallas
Tommy
and New York.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito versus whoever that schlub is for the Cowboys that they're running out there. We'll get to watch that one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's disgusting. Did you see Daniel Jones' little sentimental video to the Giants fans after he got benched?
I did, yeah. Give me Tommy DeVito. Give me Cooper Rush. Let's get that going on Thanksgiving. I will fall asleep so quick.
Oh, that's the best nap game I've ever seen. Chris, appreciate your time as always, my man. Again, we'll talk off air, try to get you on next week. But if in case I don't talk to you, happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you too, Jake. Thanks, man.
Thanks so much. That's Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. He joins us every week here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC for joining us as he does every single Thursday. And as I told him, we're going to get him, hopefully, we are... I'm going to try and get him on somehow next week for a hit like we normally do. But since there are we're not doing shows next Thursday, I want to make sure that we get him on somehow, some way. And we'll try to do that. And as far as I know, in terms of what we're doing here at ESPN, no shows on Thanksgiving Day. We'll have regular scheduled programming Wednesday and Thursday, or I guess Wednesday and Friday, that is. I do know we have women's basketball next Friday, so we're going to get all that worked out for you and give you more information, hopefully tomorrow or on Monday. But what I can tell you is that we will not be doing shows on Thanksgiving Day, but we want to make sure we have plenty of coverage for Auburn basketball next week, the Iron Bowl next week. Isn't that crazy that... there will probably be more hype, not even probably, there will be more hype and excitement for what Auburn can do in Maui versus what Auburn can do in the Iron Bowl. Isn't that crazy to you? What a time to be alive. Good and bad, I guess. Been a great show today, man. If you missed any of it, be sure that you go back and listen to the podcast. We just take the show audio and post it to our station website every single day. You can find that at ESPNAU.com. You can also find our SEC Football Challenge on there as well. You can get that on ESPNAU.com as we have just a couple of weeks left. So if you want to get some picks in, try to get some weekly prizes from the Orthopedic Clinic, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and University Ace Hardware, be sure that you do that. Tomorrow is Free For All Friday, so Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin will be in the studio. Looking forward to having those guys back in here. Who knows what we're going to get into talking Auburn football, Auburn basketball, SEC basketball, SEC football. I mean, there's a lot to go over on the show tomorrow, so we'll be sure to have all of that for you right here on ESPN 106.7. Tomorrow night, also on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, going to have Auburn women's basketball as the Tigers are traveling from Eugene down to California. They're going to go and take on the Golden Bears in Berkeley, so looking forward to that. We'll have that call with Britt Bowen right here on ESPN 106.7 on the Auburn Sports Network tomorrow night after the drive. I believe that game is an 8 o'clock start as well, so that's coming up. Then Auburn football on Saturday. That'll be over on Wings 94.3. And speaking of some of our coverages, if you're looking for something to listen to tonight, I'm going to be on the air coming up just a little bit, about an hour and a half, hour 45 or so, for some more Auburn High School basketball. Girls and boys back home tonight, hosting Charles Henderson. Looking forward to that. Girls start around 5:30, boys start around 7 o'clock, so be sure that you are tuned in for that. If you're looking for something to listen to, is checking in with the Tigers, the ladies, and the boys. Again, girls 5:30, boys around 7. That is all on 96.3 WLEE, 963WLEE.com, or the Radio Alabama app. I know a lot of our loyal listeners to our family of radio stations. I have the Radio Alabama app downloaded. You can listen to ESPN. You can listen to Wings. You can listen to 96.3. Tiger Country with Christian Griffin for basketball for Lee Scott. I mean, everything you need is right there on the Radio Alabama app. So be sure that you have that downloaded. And again, I'm going to be on the air for Auburn High School basketball tonight on 96.3 W. Lee. Again, tomorrow is a free-for-all Friday, 2 to 4. We'll have a lot of fun, get you into the weekend, get into Thanksgiving week. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wild? November's almost over. Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, folks. It is my absolute favorite holiday. It's coming up next week, so looking forward to that as well. But again, we're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7 for Free-for-All Friday. It'll be a loaded studio. You don't want to miss out on that. We'll be back then, 2 to 4, on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.